Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
A really long but eventful day today. So, Jason, tell the city why they couldn't get around as easily today.
There was a big soccer match at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. I took Marta because it's Marta, as you should know. It was a very easy trip for me back and forth, but you might have been stuck in some traffic as Lionel Messi came to town and did Lionel Messi things.
Ooh.
I was thinking about this driving over here. I've had the good fortune of seeing Lionel Messi, who I think is the best player to ever play the sport of soccer.
Fair.
I've had the chance to see him and either call the game or work the game for media 9 times now.
That's amazing.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, that's like being like the away team that plays Jordan like every like 4 or 5 games. It's like, man, I've seen or covered or asked him questions like so many times. It's like when you go back and think about it, you're like, that's kind of incredible. And yeah, to be able to have that experience with Lionel Messi is incredible, including today's match. And what was today's match? Who did they play? And how did that turn out?
So Club World Cup, it's the 32 teams that qualified over the last 4 years around the world. So like the Nations World Cup, but with club teams.
Okay.
So teams that won the European Champions League, the South American Copa Libertadores, the CONCACAF Champions League, different leagues, different continental competitions. So they played FC Porto from Portugal, one of the leading clubs from Portugal. And this was the first time that an MLS team beat a European team in a competitive match.
Yeah.
Not an exhibition, not a friendly, a real match that matters. This tournament, if you win this tournament, you're going to win around $145 million.
Ooh, as a club, right?
As a club.
Ooh.
Yeah, a lot of money on the line, and this was a big, big win for MLS, I think for Miami. Messi has the free kick that wins it. I mean, that's the thing is, like, I've seen him 9 times in person, and you get to a point sometimes where you see somebody who's great over and over again, and you kind of take it for granted a little bit. This was the kind of day that you remember, oh, wait, he's that dude. He's 37, but he's still that dude. They get a free kick. He moves it back, and it was so smart. Like, you think, okay, I want to have it as close as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. You want to be a little bit further back from, like, the foul was around the top of the 18. He moved it back maybe 3 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And what that does is it gives him the room to get it over the defensive wall and under the crossbar.
Okay.
It gives him just a little more room to work with. And he's so good at it. Foul happens. Referee's dealing with everybody. He just kind of rolls the ball where he wants it to be. Just a little bit. Not dramatically away. Just a little bit. Get a better angle. Get a better spot. Puts it home.
Ooh. Yeah. I heard some of the crowd on IG. They sound really excited. They looked really good on the field. The field looked great.
Yeah.
Natural grass for this one, right?
Yeah, natural grass. A little bit different process than last summer. You've got sand underneath it. You got like a little bit of a different floor. It's not quite what they'll do for World Cup, where you're actually going to tear out the concrete on the floor.
Ooh.
You're going to create basically an irrigation system because you're going to have grass in the building next year from February on through the World Cup.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, once the Falcons are done, they start the process of getting the field in for World Cup.
Oh, that's going to be really interesting. Okay.
So you're not going to have any of the big concerts early next year at the Benz. I mean, this grass right now is going to last until Beyonce takes over.
Right.
Because then she doesn't need the grass on the field. She takes over the whole building.
Does.
I think she's got, what, 3 shows?
Yes, and I will be there that Monday. Yes.
But the tournament ends. The grass is being ripped out. I think her trucks are there at midnight after the game here.
Yep. That sounds about right, because Mercedes-Benz is a 24-365 kind of event station around here in Atlanta.
Yep.
Right now, we are taking a bit of a look at the NBA Finals, a Finals that this morning— You know, people like me and Sam and Greg and Terrell Thomas, and I was going to say Jason Longshore was kind of sure that this was going to be over tonight. And, man, life comes at you fast, doesn't it?
I'm glad the Pacers are stretching it. It's been a good series. It's been a fun series to watch. You know, we didn't know when we talked about this during game one how long this thing would go. We weren't quite sure how it would turn out. Full credit to Indiana for taking it as far as they have. And when it started to turn here, like, look, they've made one more stand. You go to a game seven, yeah, you're going to be on the road. They have not been afraid of anything in this postseason.
No.
I don't think they win, but that's not a team that I want to see in a game seven.
They've done a great job of making this series interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I think we kind of went, you know, the grand we kind of went into this series thinking that, you know, Thunder in five or Thunder in six or whatever. And, you know, Indiana comes out and they take a big swing and land a big punch in the first game. And, okay, so he comes back and we think, you know, we're seeing the course correct. And then here's Indiana again coming back with another punch. So they've done everything they can to kind of save their season here at this last stand. This clearly looks like it's going seven. Does Indiana have the momentum right now? Is there a momentum swing that can maybe take this from the Thunder? Or are you still, you know, feeling confident that the Thunder are going to close this thing out?
They've got a momentum swing. I mean, when how many times do we feel like we've seen this where game six, team has a chance to close it out,
mm-hmm.
they don't, and then the other team gets all the momentum going into game seven.
Mm-hmm.
And you double that down with Indiana and what they've done coming back in games where they've been gone.
Yep.
Game's been gone. Not for Indiana. So you've got to completely and utterly bury them to get out of this. Pressure's going to be on Oklahoma City. Indiana's got nothing to lose going into game seven.
Man, this is I think people went into this finals thinking that maybe it wouldn't be as exciting without the brand names, but the games themselves and the outcomes have been what made this series exciting, and that's what's going to make Game 7 become an event.
Yeah, it definitely feels like an event, a big deal. Like, I'm looking forward to Game 7 and all the different twists and turns that we're going to see in that thing.
And speaking of twists and turns, it looks like our Atlanta Braves are trying to twist and turn into some type of contender team. Did we get a sweep of the Mets?
Are we back to this again? How many times how many times has it been? Oh, here we go.
Like, this is the moment. This is the one. This might be the one. And I'm going to tell you why, Jason.
Okay, tell me why this is the moment.
I feel they may have finally broken their season curse of losing one-run games.
Yeah, they.
You finally won a one-run game with extra innings, but not just any one-run game. You won it against the division-leading Mets. The Mets think they feel like they have a window to come take this division, and the Braves just showed that not so fast. We may be down, but we are never out, and this is still our division.
Is it? Is it?
I mean, for right now, for this glorious Juneteenth day, we get the claim that it is until they falter again. Now they got to go do it again against the Nationals.
Yeah. And, they?
And typically we would say, you know, it's the Nationals. We'll go up there and not that kind of season.
Mm-mm.
So let's go see if we can do it against the Nationals, at least take two out of three. But I would love a sweep and some great pitching and some bat swinging. And just all positive things, right? Because that's all we've been missing, to put all the things together. It's been peanut butter, no jelly, you know, ham, no burger, Kool-Aid, no sugar lately with this Braves team and trying to get everything going at once. And this week against the Mets looked like they got everything going at once, and I would like to continue that trend.
I'm going to have nightmares about some of the combinations you just said, missing the key element. Kool-Aid with no sugar? Come on now.
Exactly.
Come on now.
Exactly. You can't get wins that way. You can't have a delicious meal or a MLB win with missing components. And that's what the Braves have been looking like. The components have been on the field, but we haven't really gotten the results we wanted.
Do they have how much? I guess they have momentum coming out of the series, obviously. But how much momentum do they carry into this series with Washington based on what you saw in this one?
I mean, it should be a lot, taking down the division leaders and feeling like you got the thing. They scored seven runs today.
Mm-hmm.
You scored a decent amount of runs yesterday. You finally won a run game. Like, you should be feeling like yourself again, like you ate a Snickers. Like, y'all seen the Ronald Acuna
yes.
Snickers bar commercial?
Yes, yes.
They should feel like they ate a Snickers bar and they look as fresh as they usually do with their gold chains and everything else and about to have an amazing photo shoot, i.e. a win. So I'm thinking that they ate the Snickers bar, Jason, and that we're about to get back to normal.
I hope so. I'm still a little skeptical. I'm not going to lie. It's been one of those kind of years, but I hope so. I need you to get me caught up on what's going on with the Atlanta Dream as well, because that team, we talked about a couple weeks ago, they are carrying the flag for the city right now. Maybe the Braves are going to help a little bit. Maybe a little.
They're trying.
But the Dream, are they carrying the flag? They're still carrying the flag.
Your Atlanta Dream, yes. Even though they took an L in New York against the New York Liberty, and my lip is still poked out, and I still have a sour taste in my mouth from it because the fourth quarter went a little topsy-turvy. There were some things that happened, some whistles that were blown and some fouls that were called that I did not quite agree with, but Ryan Howard is your Defensive Player of the Year candidate right now. Alisha Gray is a serious MVP contender right now. You have Jordan Cannon putting everybody in position and making all the hustle plays and diving all over the floor everywhere to ensure that if there is a loose ball, we are the ones on the other side of it. And the bench are just coming in and doing everything possible to come out and leave with a win. So even though your Atlanta Dream took a loss to the championship New York Liberty, they are still right where they want to be. They have the league right where they want them, ladies and gentlemen. They have the league right where they want them. I mean, they almost made the Commissioner's Cup completely under the radar, which is why that game Tuesday was so important and left me with such a sour taste in my mouth, because we were about to head into the Commissioner's Cup and really, you know, try to contend for something before we contend for the big championship. Mm-hmm. But just them being in contention for it and taking a huge punch at the championship New York Liberty and living to fight another day. I'm gonna take the moral victory out of it, but I really wanted the win out of that game.
We've talked about this team and what they've done with some missing pieces, some injuries, some, you know, kind of figuring things out as the season has started. How much has it helped to get Jordan Canada back in?
I think it's been they've done a great job point guard as committee, but mm-hmm. now people can more so do their job and Jordan can do what she does best, which is set people up. Like, she's like, it's insane around the back passes in the post to Bree Jones for easy buckets. It's, you know, half court throws when there's nobody around the basket to get an easy bucket. It's, you know, shaking and baking and breaking down guards. And you think she's going to go for the basket only to kick it out to the top of the key for the three. So she's setting up everybody the way that you know, coach and, you know, what I personally want to see this team do. They can shoot the three. They can shoot the mid-range. They can play in the post. They can defend anybody. The Atlanta Dream is coming, folks. They are coming.
I've noticed a shift. When the season started and it started really good, you were positive, but maybe holding back a little bit. I think we've crossed that now.
Yeah, we've crossed the threshold.
Okay.
I am a believer of this team. They've showed that they can win in so many different ways. They can play in so many different ways. They can score in so many different ways. But most importantly, they can defend. Like, Breonna Stewart was in a box Tuesday night, and that was due to Ryan Howard's defense. So, on top of what Alisha Gray is doing to other guards, shutting them down and then going on the other end and doing whatever she wants to do to get the bucket on her end, it's just amazing to see. They're really fun to watch. And we're going to hear more about why that is from your Atlanta Dream point guard.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Jordan Canada, and I had a chance to sit down with Jordan earlier this week, and we talked about a couple of things, from anything, all the things from basketball into her style, into music and more. And you can hear that entire interview on 92.9 The Game, the Odyssey app. But right now we're going to go into the key to why the Atlanta Dream are clicking right now. Like, as you heard me talk about in the last segment before we went to break, this team was on a roll before the Liberty. And even that game, they gave the defending champions a really, really good punch in the mouth before they came back. So I asked Jordan Canada, like, why are the Dream clicking so well right now?
It's been feeling great. I think we have been clicking so well so far. I think that we all want to play hard for each other, support each other, and be at each other's best. And I think that's just what makes a great team, is when you're willing to like sacrifice for the betterment of the team. We all want to see each other succeed. And it's just more fun to play that way, when you know the teammate next to you has your back. So we obviously are still building that chemistry, but I think so far we have been doing a really great job of just sticking together and playing well together.
And it's coming through on the court, that how much fun you guys are having together, just playing and making it happen. So, yeah, like I said, you see how much fun they're having on the court. You saw it Tuesday before everything went left. So I know it will continue to be that. But
you never know how a team's going to come together. Sometimes you get talent that should come together, but they don't click on the field or on the court. Sometimes you get talent that comes together and it looks pretty good in games, but then when times get hard, they actually don't click off the field or off the court.
Right.
You know, they don't have that kind of togetherness that you got to have when things are difficult. And I think what sounds really good about this team, and I think what we're seeing so far, is you're getting that good combination of both. They're still building the chemistry on the court, and they're going to get better now, especially that Jordan's healthy and you're starting to connect all the dots. But it sounds like off the court, they click too. And in those moments where you got to fight and you got to scrap and you got to know that somebody's got my back, you've got to click outside of the game too. It's such an important part that we don't often get into. And I think with the best teams in any sport, they're usually to some degree tight off the field, off the court.
Yeah, you see it with this team. And it kind of started with Jordan and Ryan and Alicia and Brittany, bringing Brittany in. Mm-hmm. To the Atlanta Dream. It kind of started down in Miami with Unrivaled.
Yeah.
And, you know, them getting closer and building a bond. And then, you know, you bring that back to Atlanta with, you know, maybe some of the team members that didn't go down to Miami, or, you know, your rookies like Tahina Pow Pow. And you're seeing them blend all of that together, and they're having a really good time, to your point, on and off the court. Like, when they came into the stadium a couple games ago, I think Ryan, Nas Hillman, and Alicia all had each other's T-shirts on.
Yeah.
Right, as you know,
when you start getting that sort of stuff going,
exactly.
Yeah.
So you're seeing that type of, you know, camaraderie on and off the court. And to Jordan's point, like, that's you're seeing it in their play.
Yeah,
like they're diving for each other. They're passing up shots. They're passing up good shots for great shots.
Yeah.
They're moving the ball around, and they're playing for each other, not just for themselves, and get individual stats. And that is what I think is helping the winning. That, and also like having a point guard with a high basketball IQ like a Jordan Canada.
Yeah, it's essential, especially at that position, what it means to be that leader in the way that you play. The point guard role, I think, it's kind of evolving in the game. You're seeing far more points out of point guards than you did back in the day. Jordan feels like maybe a little bit of a throwback in some ways.
Yeah.
About definitely, like, it's team first.
Yes.
And having that basketball IQ is so important in knowing, all right, this is my moment, but more often than not, I got to make the moment for somebody else.
Yes, yes. If she needs to take a shot, she will, she can. But you definitely see that her focus is to set up everybody else and try to get the best maximum shot available. And I asked her what it means to be the point guard for the Atlanta Dream.
Being a point guard is very, very special. I love playing that position. It allows me to get my teammates involved and put them in positions to succeed and be successful and to their strengths. And I think it's very hard to be a point guard. Not everybody can do it. But I think for this team, it's all about, for me, just pushing the pace, making sure we're constantly running, making sure we're constantly getting up and down, getting good possessions. And, you know, you're not always going to be perfect. Basketball is not a perfect game, but just trying to be as consistent as I can possibly be, and sacrificing. I think for me, it's all about sacrifice. What can I do to impact the game as much as possible without having to be a scorer? How can I get Ryan involved, or any of my teammates involved? Leash, BG, Bree. We have so many different scorers on our team. is how can I get them involved? And then also defensively, I think I bring the defensive spark as well and setting the tone in that way and getting our defense going. So it's all about how I can sacrifice and make an impact for my team. And that's what I try to do day in and day out.
And she's right, bringing up the defensive part. Like, we talked about offensively how she sets everybody up, but she is willing to dive on the floor, dive in the crowd, do whatever needs to be done to go after that ball or stop somebody from scoring. And it does spark the team. You can see it.
We talk about it a lot in soccer as well, and we've had this conversation. I think there's so many similarities in terms of the flow of basketball and soccer. But there's moments in games where those kind of plays change momentum. Momentum is everything. Momentum defines games. And what I love about that clip from Jordan is she gets the little things that change momentum.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it is that defensive play. Sometimes it's that dive for a ball that you're probably not going to get. But by diving, your players get pumped up because of what you did. And then you see a change in the momentum. You see a change in the game. Sometimes it's about getting somebody involved. I think in basketball, especially when somebody's maybe struggling a little bit, shots not falling, keep feeding them. Keep feeding them, showing that trust in them. Like, it's going to come. Like, we're good. Ryan's missing a couple shots. All right, keep getting her the ball.
Yep.
Like, don't shy away from that. That's the art of being a point guard that at times gets lost when it's a score-first point guard. When you're all about the rest of the team, you're thinking about all these things in your mind, and you're connecting the whole team together with everything you do.
Yeah, and that's why I agree with her when she says, like not everybody can play point guard. It's such a very special position.
Nope.
And it is. It's a very special position. Jordan, this is The Intersection. How you doing, everybody? This
What's
is The
up?
Intersection on 92.9 The Game with Noel and Jason Longshore. We are talking about our interview with Jordan Canada. And, you know, Jordan is an L.A. girl. She is from California. And I asked her, you know, because I consider, you know, Atlanta and California to be, Atlanta and L.A. to be like kindred spirits, like cousin cities.
Hmm.
So I asked her, like, how Atlanta has influenced her style, just, you know, being here in her second season.
Thank you. I love L.A. That is my home through and through. So wherever I go, I always just try to have bring a little bit of L.A. with me. And I think that's in the aura that I bring, the swag that I bring. And I think with Atlanta, just seeing the people and the culture and just how bold it is and how confident it is, I think that's what helps me become more versatile in my looks, of just being able to just be free in whatever I want to wear, and being proud in whatever I want to wear. So I think those two things, like you said, they're kind of like they're cousins, and it fits well together. So I think those two things have definitely intertwined in my closet, and it has allowed me to wear pieces that may be a little bit more bold, or things that I thought, you know, in LA that, you know, I don't know if I'll wear that, but in Atlanta, I definitely would. So it just helps me expand my wardrobe.
Yeah, I like that Atlanta allows her to be bolder. Like she's saying that she's pulled out stuff here that she wouldn't necessarily wear at home or maybe think twice. But being in Atlanta makes her a little louder and a little bolder when she wears her clothes. And I like that Atlanta allows her to be that. I think Atlanta allows a lot of people to be that.
That's interesting. I kind of would have thought it would have been the other way.
Hmm.
I needed a little bit more of an explanation why you see L.A. and Atlanta in terms of style as kindred spirits.
Not just style, but just, like, also temperament a bit. And maybe it comes from some of the 90s classic films where it seems like their fresh start is always leaving L.A. and coming to Atlanta. And they seem to, you know, like, just come to Atlanta and kind of fit in with their little L.A. style. And I feel like we've been kind of coexisting in that way for a long time on both sides, like us moving there and them moving here. And
okay.
So that's why I said it. Because I went to a Dom Kennedy concert a month ago, and it was like Little Leimert Park around the corner over there at a center stage. So they are here, but they blend in well with the city, and they fit in.
They fit in different than New York, than the Northeast.
Yes. Or even like people from New Orleans. Like, they just fit in here a little differently, a little easier.
Hmm. Okay. I never thought about that.
I don't know.
No, I never thought about that. I get it. Like, I never thought about that, but it makes sense.
Yeah, and it was interesting that she brought that up, because Before she came back, when she was injured on the bench, Jordan was wearing all type of amazing outfits. And she had on one that where she looked like she came right off the set of the California Love video. It was like all baggy clothes and earth tones. And it was like a knit vest over the top. And it was really cool, but like a unique vintage style at the same time. But it's not something a whole lot of people are putting together.
Yeah.
And so for her to say that, you know, Atlanta kind of helps her do that a bit. You know, I like that. I thought that was nice. Let's see. One other thing I wanted to get to before we get out of here. So if you go to the Odyssey app after we are off the air, you will find the complete interview. And there she talks about her player exclusive from last year and what she's planning to do this year. But I asked her, you know, which Jordan shoe she's wearing this year and why. She's a Jordan brand athlete. So like Trae Young, she's usually in in some Jordan brand shoe when she's on the court. And this year she's wearing Jordan 23.
This season, I'm wearing the 38s, the Jordan 38s, the Lowe's. I love the colorways that they've had. I love how comfortable it is, how light it is. And, I'm going to try and stick with those as much as possible. But to be honest, I tried to wear the Tatums, tried to wear the Lukas, because, you know, there's so many games in the season. Mm-hmm. So I try to just spread it out as much as possible, but those have been my go-to since I've come back from injury is the Jordan Lowe's. Like I said, they're just very comfortable, they're very light, and I love the colorways. I'm all about a colorway. If the colorway looks good, I'm definitely going to wear them. And I think Jordan brand does a really good job of having really cool colorways on different signature shoes. And allows me to just like I said, if you look good, you feel good, you play good.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Jordan 38. I like the high better than the low, but they do a lot of creative colorways. Like they bring a lot of colorways back from the past, a lot of stuff like the Aqua 8 colorways and stuff from the like 12s and 3s, and they meld in and give it a different look and put it on this Jordan, which I thought was a really unique way to use this particular sport performance shoe. But she looks really good in it, and she's balling, so what can we say? I'm excited to see the player exclusive when she gets it on the court, and she will explain more of that when y'all check out the interview on the website.
That's a tease.
Indeed, indeed.
Yeah, make sure you go to, it's going to be under weekend mornings in terms of the podcast, but you can go on the podcast section of the Odyssey app. You can go to 92.9 The Game, and you'll be able to hear all of our intersection shows there. Since we're kind of sort of a spinoff, I mean, are we kind of like a different world to The Cosby Show or something with this? Is that what we are?
Then where you come from? I like it.
Man,
I'm going with it.
I loved that show.
Ooh, woo, woo now. I'm going with it, yeah. Before we get out of here, I want to give Jordan a chance to tell you guys where you can find her on social media.
So I am on Instagram. You can follow me at jcan, jaeecan, and I'm also on X, Jordan_Canada, and those are the two main platforms that I use.
All right, we like to thank Jordan Canada for spending some time with us on the internet.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why are we throwing darts?
First off, I think next week I might have to break out the like 2002 playlist or something because we might have to get into this a little bit. Darts. So this is what happens at the end of the night when you're at the bar, you're having your last few drinks of the evening, and you know you see the dartboard over there, and it's like, cool. We decided to kick it up a notch. We found this dot matrix printer, and we found one of those metal carts that your substitute teacher used to roll in on the days when you'd end up watching a movie or something in class and you didn't do anything and you were happy about it. So we found a dot matrix printer. We've got, I think, one tape thing left on it that works. And what we do is we come up with a topic, we print a picture of said topic, and we put it up on the dartboard. Now, the rest of us do have the opportunity to go up and take that picture down if we disagree with throwing darts at it.
Indeed.
So let's see what happens this week. We've got plenty of darts to throw. I think we've got enough on the dot matrix printer to get some pictures printed. Where are you going first?
All right. I am throwing, and I've been holding this dart at you guys since Monday. I am throwing a dart at New Balance.
You're printing a New Balance logo?
I'm printing a New Balance logo. An N and a B.
I mean, you can just take somebody's New Balance shoe and put it up there if you want for me. That's fine. But why are we throwing darts at New Balance? Like, there's got to be some kind of specific reason.
Because New Balance announced their new Cooper Flag collection of apparel.
Oh,
it's going to say Flag Day on it. Now, number one, I feel like you missed an opportunity because Flag Day was earlier this week, but whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, so the Flag Day t-shirts are supposed to come out. Mm. And they're in the nice little block New Balance font.
Mm.
All looked cool. Okay. Okay, this is this good rollout, you know, right before the draft and all the good stuff and the whoop-de-whoop. Jason, ask me how much this t-shirt is.
It's a t-shirt, right? Just a t-shirt?
It's a t-shirt.
That there's nothing else to it, just a t-shirt?
Just a t-shirt.
How much?
This t-shirt is $75.
Get out.
This t-shirt is $75 U.S. American dollars.
$75 for a t-shirt that is a representation of vanilla ice cream.
Basically. It is Heather Gray t-shirt.
Oh, of course it is.
That says New Balance in Blue Devil Blue. Gross. And it says Flag Day. And they want 75 whole American dollars. Let me tell y'all something. These sports apparel brands have lost their mind. And I've already been of that opinion for a while this year. I'm mad at Nike right now for these $160 Jordans in children sizes. My size 4.5 feet, should not be paying $160. And nobody should be paying $75 for a Flag Day t-shirt. Guess how much the sweatshirt is, Jason?
I'm afraid to ask.
You should be. It's $155.
For a sweatshirt?
That should be the sweatshirt, the joggers, and the shirt.
And is it just plain, like, gray?
It's just gray and Blue Devil Blue.
Like
it says Flag Day.
Like the champion gray that you would get at the corner store down the street?
Like, that's it. And like,
I
hate to make it sound so mundane, but you made me with this $75 price tag.
I mean, I can't say I'm surprised that it's mundane,
like,
but I am a little offended by the price tag, yes.
Like, my friend Jason right now has on a very nice Atlanta United kit.
Mm-hmm.
In my size, this kit is, guess how much this kit is in my size, Jason?
It's a little expensive.
It's $75. It is exactly $75.
Oh,
I can get an entire stitched jersey that says American Family Insurance and all on it for the exact price that I can a Heather t-shirt with Blue Devil Blue on it. I need y'all to go back to the drawing board with these prices. I need y'all to go back to the drawing board.
Is Cooper Flag the most New Balance athlete that you can get?
Yes, absolutely.
Nah, I push back.
There's a more New Balance athlete?
Kawhi Leonard.
I was going to say he fits Kawhi and Cameron Brink.
Yeah.
I was going to say he fits their mold.
Yeah.
Yeah, he fits right in that catalog
that's a gang
of players
right there.
That he has. And Coco. He fits right in that catalog of athletes that they have. He really does.
That's a gang right there.
It is.
I'm trying to think of who would wear New Balance.
And Jamal Murray.
In that group.
Don't they all seem
MLS.
Like similar athletes?
Yeah. They, you know, you don't really know what their personality is.
Right.
Because there probably isn't one.
Exactly.
Or they have like a sneaky personality. It's like one of those, you got to get to know them and be around them for 3 months and gain their trust. And it's like, oh, a smile. Yeah, one of those.
I believe Shohei is also a New Balance athlete.
Yep, Shohei too, yep.
Oh, I can see that too.
See?
Yeah.
So, you're right as far as him being one of the most New Balancist.
Mysterious.
Athletes. A New Balancist.
athletes possible? Yes, he is.
I got to figure out who would be the New Balance team in MLS. That's what I got to work on.
Ooh,
I'll have
that's
to think
a good
about
one.
This. All right. I'm definitely throwing all the darts at New Balance. I would have just done that on principle when the logo went up
exactly.
there. I didn't even
Come
need
on,
to know
man.
Why, but I'm definitely throwing them now. Okay. I'm going to print up the I got to explain it a little bit. So I'm going to go with I think I can do this on Print Shop. You remember Print Shop back in the day?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I can make this on Print Shop. I'm going to do a whistle and the WNBA logo.
Okay, I like it.
So a whistle and the WNBA logo. That's what we're printing up. Pulled it up on Print Shop. I think it looks pretty good. All right. The reason why is everybody and their brother and their mother has had takes on what happened with Caitlin Clark and the game this week. I'm putting it on the refs because we have had this conversation in every sport imaginable about star players who, when teams can't really defend them, what's the trick? Beat them up. That's how you do it.
Since the dawn of time.
How do you not have that happen? I don't know. Maybe use the whistle that you have. Maybe if you have technical fouls, flagrant fouls, in soccer we got yellow cards. Use the tools that you have to manage the game so it doesn't get out of hand. Everybody's had so many bad takes about this situation, and not enough people are talking about how the referees let it get there.
Agreed. And this is something that I've been saying about the W for a while. I don't like the way that they call fouls. Like, I'm sitting there in Gateway, I'm watching games, and I'll be like, okay, that was a foul. Okay, that was a foul. Oh, okay, there was contact there. It's like they let a lot go, to your point, and it can create this kind of chaos with, you know, a big enough star player and enough, you know, tension in a game back and forth. Because that game was already tense. It was already a lot going on back and forth. And then for it to end the way that it ended with the, you know, the huge hard foul for absolutely no reason because it was like 90 seconds left on the clock and the game was over 10 minutes prior to that. That's a referee situation. That's when you have to get control. And sometimes we get annoyed in basketball where you see a bunch of fouls early.
Yeah.
But that's what that's for, to kind of get control of a game early, to establish what will be allowed, what won't be allowed. So we know going forward, okay, if you guys continue, somebody's probably going to get ejected with too many fouls because we're not going to let this stuff go. Or you'll find out early, you know, what will be let go. But if y'all want to get control of these games and these players and these star players getting hit, because it's not just Caitlin. I mean,
no.
Asia Wilson is concussed right now because she gets slapped in the face and hit over the nose and across the head and through the neck and everything else. So all this happens to all star players. We see it with Trae Young. Miami loves to put the three man trap on him and just guard him at the foul line and try to push him out of bounds or see if he can fight his way out the trap. Like, this always happens with exceptional players that can do things that are hard to guard.
It happens in every sport. And that's why I've been so frustrated that because the refereeing was so bad that everybody's been able to fire off really bad takes about this whole situation. Really bad takes. Trying to turn it into five different things that it's not. You want to see how this has happened in every other sport. How many times have you heard about, well, you got to hit the quarterback. You got to make him feel you. If he's throwing passes all over the field and connecting all over the field and killing you, you got to hit him. Okay? How many times did we see Michael Jordan get beat up in games early in his career? I mean, just flat out.
That's what
beat
the Pistons
up.
Did.
Yeah, just beat up. Like, not even trying to play basketball, just beat up. How many times, you can go pull it up on YouTube, you can go watch a highlight reel of fouls on Diego Maradona when he went to Italy. I mean, and they're ridiculous fouls on this guy in Italy. Lionel Messi went through it. Pelé went through it. He got kicked, basically, like literally kicked out of the World Cup in 1966. That's the only time Brazil didn't win a World Cup in his career. It happens to every star athlete.
Cam Newton went through it. He was one of the most hit quarterbacks ever.
Yep. It is not unique to Caitlin Clark. So let's stop making this like this is the first time this has ever happened to any athlete anywhere. Like, it's ridiculous, the overdoing it that so many people are doing about it. But the reason it got there is because the referees didn't handle the game well.
Yep.
And they've got to do a better job of managing games. I talk about it in soccer all the time. There's an art to refereeing.
Yep.
And every referee's got a different personality. Some will call it super tight early and loosen up.
Mm-hmm.
Some will let it go as long as they can and then start to tighten it up.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the game. Every game is different. I want consistency, and when it's going to change, I want the referee to tell me, hey, it's getting out of hand. I'm going to call it tight. Y'all better react to it.
Right.
Like, manage the game. Referees need to talk to the players. They need to manage it. The referees in this situation didn't, and that allowed a lot of people to make a lot of bad takes.
Yeah, and they need to be willing to talk to the players, because you see a lot leagues, in the W and in the NBA, where players are trying to converse with referees to get clarity on, you know, what happened or what went wrong. And, you know, they shut them down. Or in Dejan and Carrington's case, you bring an officer or a guard over to stand in front of you two like something's about to happen.
Absolutely
insane.
I don't
know what that was. But
the best referees talk to players. Then they don't have to either throw that technical or throw that yellow card
Because
they've talked to the player and they've managed it.
And we've seen that side too. We've seen refs come over and, you know, you have those discussions on the mm-hmm. side with the players and they figure out, you know, okay, well, you hooked them like that. I'm going to call that. So if you do that, okay, I understand now. And that seems to be a really simple thing to do, but you you know, a lot of refs with, you know, egos, and they want to be felt, they want to be seen, and they, you know, they make certain decisions and certain calls.
They probably need to go be a substitute teacher somewhere instead of a ref.
But in this situation, you didn't do anything. You kind of just swallowed your whistle and sat on your hands and let it do what it do. And what it did was create chaos.
Yeah. It's so frustrating because you get all these ridiculous takes that come out of it when it shouldn't have been even got there. It should have been handled better.
Agreed. So I'm also throwing a dart. Do better, refs. Do better, W. Miles, what you got?
So my dart I'm actually keeping it in the W, and I can't wait to get your take on this, Noel. And mine comes with sound, so let me let you hear the sound first.
The bus was right here.
This is Kelsey Plum.
Two votes also.
Right. I know.
Isn't that kind of weird? Low key, come on.
A little, but
I'm really turned off right now.
I'm just a fan though.
I know, I appreciate that.
You sign one, you can put my name on it.
Awesome. I signed one.
So she did sign one. Okay, so that was Kelsey Plum going into her hotel where she was met by a fan. So he called himself a fan. And he wanted an autograph. As you can hear in the clip, Kelsey had a problem with that. She said, "This is weird. Don't you think this is weird?" I'm throwing a dart at Kelsey for this. So can the dot matrix please print me up a dart real quick for Kelsey Plum?
I don't know if that dot matrix got much life left.
Yeah. This is what happens when the game grows. You're going to experience things like this. I don't know if she's never experienced fans outside of her hotel, but this is what exposure and this is what the W wants. I mean, don't you want – now, was he a fan or was he a grifter? I mean, was he in it for the money? If that was a little girl, she wouldn't have had the same response, of course.
No, she wouldn't have.
I just had a problem with how she interacted with this guy. I don't think this is what comes with the territory. When you're famous, you can ask any NBA player. They deal with this on the regular.
Mm-hmm.
On the regular. So I don't know if this was her first time dealing with this. I don't know, but it was kind of awkward. And I don't know. I don't think she should have came at him like that, saying, "This is weird. Don't you think you're weird?" And because she did end up signing the autograph. So what's your take, Noel, on this?
Well, I'm this throwing is an a dart at him. And only because I have more context than you on this one, because I know exactly what you're talking about. So apparently, the Sparks had just changed hotels like an hour before, and nobody knew they changed hotels.
Mm.
So that's why she was like, "This is weird," because she's like, "How do you even know we're here?"
Oh,
because.
Okay.
We just saw you an hour ago, and you asked me for this autograph, and now you're here.
Oh, so that
here.
Was the second time.
Yeah,
okay.
So that's why she was like, "You don't think this is weird?"
Okay.
And then she went ahead and signed it anyway. But to your point, it did give that off until we got more context.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
we got the context from Cameron Brink, I want to say, is who gave more context. No, it was De'Erica Hambry. Shout out to Atlanta's own De'Erica Hambry.
That's right.
It was De'Erica Hambry who gave the context. She was like, "Yeah, we had just changed hotels, and absolutely nobody was supposed to know.
All right, well,
we were here.
I got
so
more info.
Like,
so the dot matrix might have to.
We gotta take the picture down.
Yeah, we gotta take.
We're gonna
that
take
down.
Kelsey's
we'll take
picture
it down.
I think it's a weird situation. I think on multiple levels because I see this with Atlanta United on the road.
Yeah,
there's people that are outside of hotels, and yeah, there is an obligation I think to sign it when it feels genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was a group of a couple kids and a couple adults with Bolivian flags who specifically wanted to meet Efrain Morales, who doesn't play a ton for Atlanta United, but he starts for the Bolivian national team.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a flag, and it was amazing. That was super cool. But then you get some who would show up when Thiago Almada was with the team, and they would have 10 8x10s to get signed.
Yep.
And it's like, I know you're going to go sell that. And I think then you get a little bit of that reaction because you know it's not genuine.
Yeah, it's just for the money.
Yeah.
Wrestlers talk about this a lot in airports where people will like track them down in airports and have like a stack of stuff to sign. And it's like, you know, I'm just trying to get on a plane and go home. Like, can I just have my moment, please? There's a line somewhere in there. It's not easy to find always, but there's definitely a line where it gets crossed by people at times. And it's hard for athletes to manage.
With that context you provided, Noel, I fully understand.
Yeah, because I actually agree with you without the context.
Without the context.
Right. I actually agree with you. Yeah, there, like if somebody.
You want to do a certain point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if somebody would just, you know, do a fan like that just outright, you'd be like, whoa, that's a little.
I was like, yeah, like, Kelsey, you know, I was a fan of you. Like,
yeah, yeah,
you
know
what I'm saying? Around
like,
talking to people like this.
Right. Like, but when you know, when you get a little bit more context and you find out, you know, it's one of these, you know, autograph grifters, peddlers, whatever.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, you feel
on,
a little bit more
them.
Different. You feel a little differently.
I was up on eBay 5 minutes after.
Exactly. You feel a little differently about it.
Grifting.
So we're going So we're gonna take that one down, but we're gonna shout out to Miles. That was a good conversation he brought up. And that has been the intersection for the night.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.